Our Lord Jesus is with us always, and as the song reminds us, from our borning, from our very beginning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is and always will be, in the precious name of Jesus, amen. I'd like for you to take your Bible, if you will, and there are several texts we're going to look at this evening, actually both the Old Testament and the Gospel reading for this evening. Both of these texts deal with women whose situation was very desperate. You see, in the Old Testament days and in the New Testament times of Jesus, there wasn't the kind of social system, there wasn't the kind of umbrella, or maybe we'd call it a safety net, for people who were in desperate situations. These days, with government assistance, with county aid or state or federal assistance, with all kinds of bureaucracy, many people, at least in our situation today, when they find themselves in difficult circumstances, have someone for whom they can trust, someone that will take care of them or assist them. In the Old Testament and in the Gospel reading, we meet widows. We don't know what their situation was before, or how they were widowed, or how long they were widowed, but what we do know is that that day and time, they were desperate for assistance. They were, unless there were family members or loved ones, friends and others who would have compassion on them. You see, the men were the ones that went to the workplaces and the women stayed at home. And in that society, in that time, it wasn't easy, maybe it wasn't even possible for women to be able to care for themselves, to find a job, to support their family and loved ones. And because of that, their situation was desperate. In the Old Testament reading first, from 1 Kings, we meet the first widow of tonight's lessons. What you'll see as you look in 1 Kings 17, the beginning of that chapter, is that we find Elijah. Elijah had confronted wicked King Ahaz. And as you look at that text, it says that there were no other kings before him who were as wicked or as ungodly as he. If you count up all the things the kings that before him had done, Ahaz was as bad or worse than all the rest. So God spoke a word of judgment and law to the people of Israel and to King Ahaz and said, God has commanded me to tell you it's not going to rain, and that will be the punishment you will deserve. So God said then to Elijah, flee now and go east of the Jordan River, and where you go, I'll take care of you. 1 Kings chapter 17 said an amazing thing happened. Morning and evening, God fed Elijah, fed him by ravens coming, bringing meat and bringing bread to him. And then he could drink from the brook. When he drank from the brook, finally the time came, because the rain did not come down, that the waters dried up. And then God said to him, I want you to go to Zarephath. Zarephath is a town in northern Israel. And when you go to Zarephath, you'll find that there's a widow woman. When you go there, I've already commanded her to take care of you. So go to the town and find the woman. As he went to Zarephath and entered through the city gates, there was the woman. And God touched his heart to speak to her and said, I need something to drink. Would you get me a glass of water, a jar of water? Text doesn't tell us, but apparently she turned away and was going to get the water for him. And he called after her and said, by the way, I'm also hungry. Could you bring me a muffin? Could you bring me a bun, a piece of bread? And she said, with God as my witness, I'm telling you, man of God, that I have nothing. As a matter of fact, I've come out to gather a few sticks, and when I go home, the little flour and the little oil I have in these containers, I'm going to use to make a muffin or two, and then my son and I will eat them, and then we know we'll die, because we have nothing else. Elijah, in verse 14 of that text, says, God has commanded me to tell you, trust in him. The Lord God of Israel tells you, do this for me, and I will care for you. First, make a muffin, make the little loaf, our text said tonight, for me, and then one for you and one for your son. And I tell you with God as witness that God will continue to provide flour and oil until the time when God himself sends rain to the land. The amazing thing about this woman is that she trusted. She believed. As God, the Holy Spirit, I believe, worked in her heart, she trusted the word the prophet had spoken, and she did what he said by the command of God. And when she did, the text tells us God did this wonderful, kind of a quiet, but a wonderful miracle. Sure enough, for many, many, many days, there was flour in the jar, and there was oil in the container without anything being added to it. Until the time when God sent rain on the land, and God provided. She trusted, and God did what he said he would to care for her. Now let's go to the New Testament, the gospel reading for this evening. Jesus meets another widow. But first, in the temple, as Jesus was teaching, Jesus looked out over the temple scene. And what he saw was prideful and arrogant teachers of the law. They loved these flowing robes. They look so good, don't you know? And they like long prayers, and everybody thinks they're wonderful and pious, godly people. But as Jesus watched them giving to the Lord through the church, in this case through the temple treasury, he knew what was in their hearts. Watch this video. Teacher of the law looked good, and he stood there at the temple treasury, and did you see that he had a bag of money from which he withdrew coins and dropped them in one at a time after another so they could clink and make lots of noise. Have you ever been to the mall or one of the places where you've seen these large, probably a plastic kind of a container where you drop a coin in and that coin circles around and around. Have you seen that? And it makes a lot of noise as it's going around and around and around, and finally it drops in for whatever the contribution you make. Reminds me of the teachers of the law. Plink, 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 plink. And what Jesus said is, I see what they've done. I know what's in their heart. They're doing this in a way so that it'll be seen and heard by everyone, and so that they'll think, my, what marvelous believers they are. But Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the woman who gave more than all the rest. Because when she gave what she had. She gave all that she had. These two small coins, the Greek is the word lepta, and it means two small copper coins that are worth less than a penny, a portion of a penny. Though this was a little amount, it was a great amount. Though it was the tiniest gift, it was the greatest gift, Jesus said, because she gave everything she had. What about these two women, the two widows? What do they have in common? Well, in a sense, like I started the sermon, they had desperate circumstances. They had difficulty in life. They had problems more than you and I can imagine. But more than that, I think, what these women had in common was great faith. What they had was a trust in God. Like we said to the children a moment ago, when God called them to leap out in faith, that's what they did, because they knew God's love. They knew God's mercy and grace, His care, His favor, and they would ultimately know God's blessing because of their trust and God's goodness to them. There was much they shared in common, because the widow of Zarephath, she was ready to die by giving what she had to someone else in need, the prophet. And the New Testament woman, that one in the temple, she gave everything she had, trusting herself into God's hands. What's your situation? Among us, I know that there are some who have great wealth. Among us, I know that there are some who have more than what they need. And among us, I know that there are some who are underemployed and unemployed, and everyone in between. What puts us in the same situation is God's call to us to trust. To trust that He knows our situations, to know that He loves and cares for us, and that He wants us, like we said to the children, to leap into His almighty arms. When He calls us to give and to serve and to live for Him, as we do so, we will be blessed as we trust Him. If you've been with us last week and will be with us the next several weeks, you know that we're in the stewardship season of our year. We started last weekend with a stewardship video, and I'd like for you to see this weekend's video and watch carefully, listen as the Wagners speak to us about trusting in God who supplies all they need.
We are Rick and Lisa Wagner. I received a voice message from Jason Gish a few months back asking if Lisa and I would be willing to speak before the congregation on one of the stewardship weekends. Before the message was even done playing, I was already saying, no, anything but that. I mentioned this to Lisa, who immediately said,
"You told him no, didn't you?"
I said, "Shouldn't we pray about it first?" So we began to pray. I continued to ask Lisa if she had changed her mind, and she would say,
"Nope."
Another week went by, and I brought it up to Lisa again, and she said,
"I make cakes. I don't stand in front of the congregation and speak."
I started to give in. It would have been very easy to say no. We are not great speakers and not comfortable in front of an audience. Deep down inside, I could hear God telling me, "Trust me, do this." I hesitated calling Jason back. As much as I wanted to say no, I kept hearing God tell me, yes, He wanted us to speak to you.
We were both raised in the church, but had become inactive after we were married. We were not putting God first. We had become lost, and we didn't even realize it. Our loving God never gave up on us, and He called us back, and we ended up joining a church. We attended most Sundays and gave offering when we were there, but if we missed a week or money was tight, we wouldn't give. Looking back, it's easy to see we weren't giving our time and talents, and therefore we were not growing closer to Christ.
Mark 4:19 reveals what was happening in our lives, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. We started to get more into the word and give more of ourselves, and the more we gave, the more God gave us. Our walk with God was growing again. He poured His abundant love out on us, richly blessing us with our two children, Lily and Rex.
In 2006, God led us to Holy Cross. It was a big change. There were so many people. How could we ever feel at home here? However, as time went on and we became more involved, we started to discover the benefit of a larger church, more opportunity. The more involved we became, the more friends we made, and the closer we drew to God.
God wakes me up sometimes in the early morning hours. I know He wants to talk to me. I can choose to get up and have some quiet time with Him reading and studying His Word, or I can ignore Him and stay in bed. Our Father loves when we communicate with Him. He reveals Himself then.
Recently I was reading Malachi and I came across chapter 3, verse 10, when God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it."
By putting God first and trusting Him, He has blessed us abundantly. We would like to encourage you to grow your relationship with Christ through all the many opportunities offered here at Holy Cross and enjoy the blessings He has in store for you. Thank you for listening, and thank you most of all to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for giving us the courage to trust in Him and say yes when it would have been easier to say no.
You can probably see why I asked the Wagners to do their stewardship moment as a part of the sermon tonight. We hadn't actually talked at all, as they had prepared what they had talked about, and as I saw their testimony, I thought it fits perfectly into tonight's lessons. Can you say a little bit more about trust? Your message for us tonight was to trust the Lord. What's God done and what does He continue to do to help you feel comfortable, at least if not comfortable, at least willing to jump into His waiting arms? Hold it real close.
Pastor, we know that God loves us so much, and we try to have a quiet time with Him in the mornings and just meditate on His Word, and He speaks to us and He guides us in every step. Like I said, it's hard for us to come up here and speak, but we just put our trust in Him, and where God guides, He provides.
Amen. That's enough. I won't push you any further. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Let's thank them. Will you please? It's a hard thing to trust God. It's also a hard thing to get in front of all of you. God speaks to us tonight, and He tells us to give His will, to give His desire, to give His word our trust. He wants us to give our hearts to Him, and when we give our hearts, our whole selves, then our wallets, our time, our treasures, our service, our lives, that all comes along with it. And we place all of these into His loving hands. Jesus gave Himself for us. Jesus came into our world and suffered in our place. He took our sin upon Himself. Our sins of selfishness. Our sins of trusting ourselves more than Him. Our sins of failing to follow Him and to give our lives, our service, and all that we have into His care. Jesus died for your sins and mine. He washes us free, and then He calls us to jump into His loving arms. Luther reminded us in his explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed that God gives me my body and all things. He gives me house and home and fields and cattle, all that I need richly and daily. He supplies me so that I have all I need for this body and life. He defends me from all danger. He guards and protects me from all evil. And all this He does purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, all for which it's my opportunity to give to Him my thanks and praise, to recognize that all I have comes from His good and gracious hand. And so I thank Him, I praise Him, I will by His grace serve Him, and I will obey Him. When He calls me to jump, when He calls you to jump, say, "Lord, I believe. Help me." Where is your trust? Our trust is in Jesus, and He calls us to come. And we come with joy and with thanksgiving. We live for Him who lived and died for us, no longer for ourselves. May God bless you by His power, through His word, in the work of His Spirit, as He calls you and causes you to believe and trust in Him. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your wallets in Christ Jesus, and all things in His care and keeping. Amen.